I think a lot of people struggle when they lose because they're worried about what everybody else thinks. Right. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck what everybody else thinks.
What is up, everybody? This is Rob Tyson, and this is the Climb Audio Documentary Journey. Man, do I have a hot topic today. I think this topic is relative to anyone and everyone who is alive here in the United States, especially people listening to this right now or in the future. This particular podcast is about race. Right now, I just finished watching Tim Cast IRL on YouTube Live. He had Daryl Davis. I'm sure people have heard of Daryl Davis. He's very controversial on the left, politically speaking, and on the right for various reasons. He's an individual who has infiltrated and has spoken to several Klansmen members throughout, you know, the past few decades and has converted a few of them. I'd say a couple of dozen, or maybe I'd say a little over 20, if I'm not mistaken. He mentions, I think, 25, 26 Klans members. And there's just a lot of stuff going in my head right now. So I'm just going to spew it out as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So hopefully this particular podcast makes sense. Again, because I have no outline on these podcasts, these are just thoughts that are in my head that I need to dump out here. Because this is the Climb Audio Documentary Journey. This is my book. This is my audio, my autobiography, if you may, somewhat, but not necessarily. Anyway, you know where I'm going with that. So I think Daryl Davis is a blueprint of what needs to happen in the United States. Now, before everyone gets all up in arms, well, what is he saying? Don't fast forward it. Don't go faster. Just listen to what I'm saying. Look, I saw him get torn apart in his movie that he made. And I don't know the name of it off the top of my head. And I can't really move my phone. And that's what I'm recording on right now. So if I move, if I swipe out of here, it will stop the recording. But it was, it's on Apple iTunes, and it was made in 2017, or that's when it was released. Excuse me. It's 99 cents. You can get it right now. I think, well, let me go back. Going back to Timcast IRL, I saw him on there, and I watched and listened to his perspectives on things. And, you know, I didn't really get or understand Daryl Davis and where he's coming from. And Timcast, I really respect. I'm a huge fan of Tim Cast because he, I lean the same way as he does politically, which is central left, you know, moderate, I would say in the middle, you know, gives the benefits of the doubts of the left and the right, but I digress. So he, you know, towards the end of it, they're hooking and jiving in the conversation. And, you know, Daryl makes a lot of points and makes a lot of good points. And I can relate to a lot of them. And then, you know, towards the end of the podcast, Tim and friends start challenging Davis because from my perspective, it sounds like, and let me just speak in layman's, okay? Daryl Davis came from a different era of time. He was actually before civil rights laws. He was right in the midst of all that stuff. And he grew up with it. He's 65 years old, I believe, 64 or 65 years old. He grew up with that stuff. And, you know, his father was also someone who worked for the government. And he's just been in that world. He comes from a different era. And it's like this. Like, my perspective, it's like this. Like, it's like having, and let me simplify this, right? It's like having somebody go to war and then, you know, we understand the atrocities that occur in war, like when military individuals, ex-military come back and they explain it. We can only imagine what they went through based off of what they tell us. Obviously, there's video formats. There's a lot of things coming out of what really happens when you go to war. But today, I felt like we had a soldier, an old soldier that came from a war that was four or five decades ago, and he was explaining, look, and this is what he was coming out how he was coming off. Look, I'm coming from this. I've seen so many different movements these past three, four, five decades already that I understand I have a scar that is deeper than what you all here, these millennials who I'm talking to, will understand. So my and I'm not going to speak for the man, but this is what I'm seeing. He's saying that his biases are so deep rooted that he believes that systemic racism and racism in general is a massive problem. And that's where him and Tim can agree. It is a massive problem. And his argument goes a little bit further. And here's where I kind of not, I don't really see eye to eye with him on this part of his argument, which is like, you know, the individuals who came from that era who had slave masters or ancestors who were slaves should receive the what's the word that he uses? I can never remember the damn word. They should be receiving what basically the Japanese Americans received and the Native Americans receive, how Native Americans get a substantial amount of benefits from the government. He says that, you know, Black Americans didn't receive anything. They were supposed to receive after the civil rights laws were passed, or after, I don't remember exactly after what movement or what laws were passed, or when slaves were free in the United States, right? When slavery was abolished, they were promised 40 acres of land and something else. And he's like, they had never received that. And his argument was like, why haven't we seen any of that? And Tim's argument was that, you know, money's really not going to help the situation, you know? And so they were going back and forth. But here's why I think his way of his approach on free speech and allowing people to speak their truths, even if you don't agree with it, is important, because he believes that people can change. Now, let me fast forward it a little bit. And I'm going to go right back to that thought. I also saw towards the end of his documentary where he butted heads with some individuals that are coming from the trenches in Baltimore telling him, dude, what you're doing is not relevant to today. I'm actually out there on the trenches living the life, seeing what happens every single day while you're over here living this highfalutin life, going and talking to Klan members. That doesn't help us, is what he's saying. Collecting these robes doesn't help us, is what this individual on his documentary was trying to relay to him. He was like, that doesn't relate to us. What does that have to do with us? But Daryl, here's where I agree with Daryl. Except, yes, his era of talking to Klan members isn't necessarily relevant to making an impact today, but he has an actual case study of change is possible when done the correct way. You see where I'm saying? My opinion is the way these Klan members act, the way they push their ideologies, the way they want to shut everything down, it should be a white run country and they're, you know, white power and all that stuff. This is what the liberal ideologies of today are, except they're not pushing that. They are saying their way of thinking should be the only way of thinking, and we should stop any other speech or quote unquote misinformation because it's not good, because it's bad, and Donald Trump is bad, and we should deplatform anybody and everybody who is against our ideologies. So what Daryl Davis' argument is saying, and I wish he would drive this through, but I think he's just a little dated and he really can't see the perspectives. I'm in the middle. Remember, if you would have sat there in front of those people in Baltimore and said, you know what? I get it. I can't relate what you're going through, but I have some knowledge of a real case study of proof that sitting down and having conversations with your opposition is so much more effective. And this is why free speech is super important today. This is why the liberals, the far radical liberals and the far right people, I don't know if it's like that on the far right, because the far right or the Republicans or the right don't have institutional power like the left does. We are seeing on full display what institutional power can get you. They can deplatform people. They can shadow ban you. They can take you offline because they have the institutional power. If the right had institutional power, would they do that? I don't know. History shows that conservatives are not as aggressive as liberals or far left radical liberals. They're not. I mean, you've seen what these white, you know, and primarily white liberals who are the loudest and the rowdiest and the craziest do when they want to get their message across. I mean, there is pandemonium and chaos. The conservatives don't do stuff like that. And I'm not defending either one. I don't think either one of those is right. I think that the left need to sit down and have open discussions and come to a mediation with their opposition. But here's why they don't do it. They are so far down their ideology tunnel. And it created such a big, big movement and has taken over cultural ideologies and has gained institutional power. Keyword, power. They have so much power that they don't want to relinquish that, because they know if they sit down with someone like Tim Pool, if they sit down with someone like myself, which I don't pretend to be like Tim Pool in any way, shape, or form, but if they have a sit down and talk stuff out, 5 out of the 10 topics, to simplify it, there's way more topics than that, just trying to make the argument simple, 5 out of the 10 topics, maybe even 80% of the topics that they talk about, the left would agree with the right. They would say, yeah, you know what? But that's, you see, that's not what they want. And the top down, the corporatists, the oligarchs, create a narrative to flash in front of these millennials or these liberals because they understand culture, because they've been integrating and infiltrating cultural at the root for decades. It's called fifth generational warfare. That's why a lot of people say, you know, and go into institutions now, educational institutions, like the educational system is, that's what they call public schools, public indoctrination camps, or colleges, public private indoctrination camps. I mean, where do you see the most liberals? Where do you see the most uproar? College students, college campuses, mainly privileged kids, because again, these institutions understand that today kids, because they got control of culture, Hollywood, television, media, they know that if they flash a headline that these liberals or these far right people or far left people are going to see a headline, even though it's completely misconstrued 90% of the time, the title is so misleading. They'll see that and immediately not know what they're fighting for, but they are emotionally reacting to a headline. And because the left or the Democrats have cultural institutional power, they want to maintain that power. And so they go feed the most vulnerable, emotionally vulnerable people they can think of, which are typically liberals, and clench their hearts, indoctrinate them because they've been doing it, and just keep indoctrinating them to keep pushing the Democrats' false flags, Trojan horse, right? They're Trojan horsing it, again, to maintain institutional power, as they've been doing, and they've been doing tactfully, so that these liberals can go and push these movements on behalf of the minorities, on behalf of Black Americans. You see the patterns? They're using the liberals. They're using these privileged suburban, primarily white kids to push their ideologies. Now, here's where I agree a lot. Here's why I'm center left. I believe in gay marriage. I support LGBTQ. I support the movement of Black Lives Matter. I do not support the Trojan horse that was created of the Black Lives Matter organization. And it's proven. And that's what they do. That's what these Democrats do. They take important movements like that, which are super important, and they hijack them. And going back to the original statement I was saying, they know that in order to maintain power and dependency from the people that keep feeding their pockets, which is the lower socioeconomic people, they know that if they keep pushing these fake headlines, these fake news, no one's going to go and challenge the status quo. Because the most educated people are typically, these days, are my millennial generation. Because, again, let's create another layer. We grew up without cell phones, without social media. I did. We got an aspect of life living freely without being indoctrinated. I mean, yeah, there was CNN and local news and stuff like that, but it was not nearly as bad as it was. Dude, I don't even know we used to talk about racial injustice very little. It was just like, hey, is that dude cool? Okay, cool. Is that chick cool? Okay, cool. Man, it was so awesome to grow up in the 90s, man. We didn't have people pushing, you know, having drag queen shows at our elementary and middle school to try to push, overemphasize a movement. We didn't have that. We just were taught to be good people and to accept people and their beliefs. If somebody wants to be a drag queen, heck yeah, girl. Heck yeah, guy. Go do your thing. Go do your thing, mama. Are you a good person? Okay, good. Black, hey man, what's up, bro? You good? White, hey man, what's up, bro? You good? Mexican, hey man, what's up, bro? You good? That's how we grew up. That's how I grew up, man. I grew up in the hood, dude. But most of y'all don't realize what's taking place. You're being hypnotized. Now, going back to my original point about Daryl Davis. The guys in Baltimore didn't understand because Daryl Davis didn't explain it correctly. My brothers in Baltimore, if you ever hear this, I saw you on that documentary, man, and I can't even imagine the pain of being a Black man in America today. I'm Mexican. I've been racially profiled, but not nearly as much. And Tim, look, I get what you're saying too, Tim Poole. He'll never listen to this, and if he does, I understand. Great, that'd be great. That'd be cool. But if you don't, I understand what I meant to say. I get it, man. You grew up hard, but bro, you cannot pretend. I know what Daryl Davis was trying to say. There is no comparison what a Black man or a Black individual goes through in America based on the color of their skin. You cannot relate, bro. You can't. I mean, I'm a little tan myself. I couldn't even pretend. I mean, and I'm Mexican and I look like it, but I could never pretend that I have the same experience and upbringing, even though I grew up in the hood, even though I experienced racial profiling and racism growing up. It wasn't nearly as bad as my Black brothers and sisters. I can't pretend that. So that's what you need to understand. And in those situations, bro, you need to be quiet. I know you went through that stuff. You can mention it, but stop leaning on that as a way to say, hey, I went through it too. I get it, but it's a fraction of what most people with pigmented skin go through. And that's why I don't agree with. But Daryl Davis's approach is key. And this is why people on the far left who are Trojan horsing their way, and they are deep down rooted racist people that are acting like they care about these movements, they are the true evil people. They are the ones that won't even have a conversation with you because they'll get exposed. But all they'll do is wave a flag and say these different chants, all for the reason of their hidden agendas within themselves, which is to create racial segregation. They don't want black or Mexican kids to get hard tests. They want them, and a lot of them are not like this. There's some of them that are just aloof. They believe that they're pushing for a good movement, again, because they only watch CNN or MSNBC, and that's their problem. But I guarantee if they got exposed to someone like Tim Pool or Jimmy Dore or someone like that, and they actually watched and listened for a little bit instead of just being in a cult, they would be like, oh my God, I can't believe I was supporting this. I can't believe I was looking this way. It's important, man, that we take a page out of Daryl Davis's book and sit down with your opposition. Here's a quote that I picked up from him. It's better to have a conversation with your enemy because you're having a conversation. You're not fighting. These far left people that scream in your face and don't want to talk to you and only act out of violence are indirectly saying, I don't want to come to a solution. I want violence. And that should say more to everyone who supports those causes that something is wrong. Now, the leftists, there's also public figures that are leftists that have built their business based off of supporting some of these bunk ideologies. And if they go and have a conversation with someone like Tim Pool, they'll be exposed. They'll agree with a lot of the things that Tim Pool says. And then his cult behind him, they'll leave him, and that's majority of his audience. And then the money goes. And that's wrong too. So watch that documentary, watch Tim Pool's podcast with Daryl Davis, or watch it on YouTube. It is important that man's message gets across, that it's not about talking about Klans members that he's trying to relay. I get what he's doing. He's saying, sit with thy enemy. Have a conversation, even though I do not agree with this person. But his message is, talk. But the other message is, and this is me telling you this, if someone is so strong on their ideologies and values, so adamant that they're right, so adamant that their movements need to be pushed on everybody, that their thoughts and beliefs and ideologies and in general need to be pushed and everybody needs to adopt them. That's a problem. That is when you see a Trojan horse a mile away and you know that traditionally Trojan horses, they may look like something, but let me break it down. If there's a Trojan horse, okay, Trojan horse was from, have you seen the Battle of Troy, where the Trojan, where they push that giant wooden horse into, I don't even want to pretend that I even know what they're pushing it into, but their opposition. And inside the wooden horse are the enemy. And the enemy comes out and be like, ha, I tricked you. I told you, I gave you a giant horse that was a statue as a gift. And you believed me, and now I'm coming to attack your land. Or like a virus, right? You click on a link And you're like, oh, puppies. And then you open it and it's like, you get a virus in your computer. That's what these people are doing. There are people behind these movements that are really racist, that really want segregation, but they are acting and gaslighting and pretending that they care about these movements, and they don't. Now, I'm not saying that everybody behind in the left doesn't care about these movements. I just believe that they don't understand what they're cheering for. Because again, they just watch the mainstream media and the corporate media outlets. Daryl Davis is doing something that we need to all do. He's all about free speech. And I get the argument. I get the argument to some of his opposition. They're saying this hate shouldn't be out there in the world. Well, people that say that, you need to see what's out there in the world. You need to see it. Because the people on the left are creating hatred. They are pushing against hatred, but are so hateful if you don't agree with them. They're acting just like the opposition that they are trying to call out, like Nazis and stuff like that. They're acting just like them. And their justification is, we're tired. We're tired of it. The real way to make change is to come together. Talk it out. Don't divide. That is what these oligarchs and these corrupt corporations want. They want division. What Daryl Davis is saying is, let everyone have the ability to speak freely. But the disagreements need to be sat down and discussed in open, in the public forums, televised. Why do you feel that way? Could we come to a middle ground? That's what he's trying to say. It's not about being pro-black. It's not about being pro-white. It's not about being pro-Mexican. It's how can we integrate that? We've gone through some stuff together, my brothers and sisters. Yes, there was a tremendous amount of racism, man. My grandpa experienced it too. They would tell me stories that were horrendous. But instead of living there and creating a crutch, we need to use that as power to restructure culture. Stop having our people doing the things that they're doing to create these generations of poverty. Instead, programs, education. I'm not talking about public schools. Entrepreneur programs. How to balance checkbooks. Start doing the things that suburban people do for their kids. Minorities. Make it more affordable for kids to learn how to start a business. Computer programming, gaming. I see it more and more. I see it. I really do. Even the lower socioeconomic kids are starting to catch on and wanting to be YouTubers. That's amazing, dude. But shutting another opposition out should be ringing alarm bells for everybody. You should think of a Trojan horse. Why are they trying to do that? The Democratic Party's using these people. Now, I'm not left, I'm not right, I'm moderate. I'm not a fan of Joe Biden, absolutely not, never have been. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump as a character. I did appreciate what he did as a leader, and that's as far as I'll go. I didn't vote for anybody. I couldn't. I did vote for Obama. Turns out Obama was something that I found out later was not very effective, but he was charismatic and he was very poised, that's for sure. And I still respect him. Even though he made a lot of bad decisions, did a lot of bad things. This is Rob Tyson. This is the Climb Audio Documentary Journey. I hope this finds you well. Good night.